Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. That's the verse. Let me pray. Pray with me, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful to be, to exist. It was your will to bring us on. Different times, different places even. And yet bringing us together by the same Spirit, under the same Spirit, with same hope. You're looking forward for that kingdom that you have promised. That's coming. It is coming, but for its full fulfillment, establishment. Thankful for today. Thank you. Thankful for each other. Thank you for the gifts that you have given us, the goodies that we enjoy. And at the same time, being thankful, we pray for those people that are doing it tough, having it tough in this world today, in different places too, and some of them brothers and sisters of ours. We pray that same hope, same endurance will characterize their lives as well. We pray for mothers of this earth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And thank you for the offering too that has been presented. So first of all, allow me to add to the greetings of Happy Mother's Day for mothers that are here and maybe other mothers that will listen to the sermon later on or in other different means, wherever you are. May God bless you and keep you and be with you. And then before I start, I have a quiz for us. Already had one. Probably we have to set the limit of quizzes, two per day or something like that. A quiz. Who is the mother of all living? Eve. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. That's how she is called, the mother of all living. Who is the mother of all nations? Sarah. Genesis chapter 17, verse 16. So together with Abraham, somehow God works through the life of Sarah too to make her the mother of all nations. Who is the best mother-in-law? Naomi. Ruth's mother-in-law. So she's the best mother-in-law. Remember Ruth, her mother-in-law was so good that Ruth didn't want her to go. I will go with you. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. Whatever you will go through, I'll go through. And that's how Ruth remained in the people of Israel. And that's how her name, she must have been a good mother-in-law too, because through her, actually, we come down to our Lord Jesus, isn't it? Wonderful. Given that we celebrate the Mother's Day, I was thinking that would be appropriate to share with you some meaningful words, some meaningful meaningful things to say. Given this special occasion, of course, we all function, especially in the church, especially in a Christian tradition, in a Christian environment, we function on the basis that God deserves all the honor, God is worthy of all our praises, and so on. But that doesn't stop us from expressing our thanks and saying words of appreciation for mothers. And I'll try to be up to the task of saying some meaningful words. Mothers and fathers have or have a God-ordained mission. So from the beginning, God gave mothers and fathers a mission, and that's God. I called it a God-ordained mission, raising from His ancient command. Refresh your memory. God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So that's a God-given mission to all mothers and fathers on earth, isn't it? And there was a time when the only worthwhile thing a young woman could do was to get married and have children. There was, and in some places, this is still the case. But in the Western society, in the Western world, that's not longer the case. I'm not commenting if it's good or not, but that's not longer the case. But as Christians, while we are upholding the institution of marriage. As Christians, while we are upholding the importance of the family unit, we have to consider the New Testament teaching regarding that. And part of it is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, where we get that to be single or married is a special gift from God. So we have to accept this, that God is the one that gives the gift of singleness, or God is the one who gives the gift of motherhood. Both of them are God's gifts. That's the New Testament teaching, which means that in the Christian world, in the church, in God's kingdom, there'll be single people, and they won't be made feel guilty or ashamed. There'll be families, according as Paul said, the gift that each one received. Today, as means an appreciation for motherhood, an encouragement for all mothers, an encouragement for mothers that might be in the future, we will consider Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus. So when I say that we'll consider her, I would like together to look at her motherhood. Not necessarily, and there will be many questions answered as we'll consider the motherhood of Mary, the mother of Jesus, how it was like, what she experienced, what it meant for her, and so on, so on. So let's reflect from what we have in the scriptures about Mary, the mother of Jesus. And by the way, I take opportunity, and hopefully I'll be able next Sunday to talk about Jesus, the son of Mary, because next Sunday we'll have a dedication, so we'll see what that will bring for us. Mary, as a young girl, she was accepted or asked or maybe given into marriage by engagement to Joseph. And Joseph was a good man. And Bible says that Joseph was actually, the term that the Bible uses is Joseph was a righteous man, in the sense that he was a believer in God. He knew God's commandments, and he lived, he tried to live according to God's will. So Joseph was a righteous man, and Mary was accepted by Joseph, the righteous man, the just man. At one point, she was visited by an angel. Remember? Was visited by an angel. And the angel named her favored one. So see, at that point, the gift that God had for her was the favor of becoming a mother. And even more, becoming the mother of Jesus, of God's son. It was a favor. She found favor in God's eyes. As a mother, as a young mother, as a yet-to-be mother, Mary was visited by an angel. A great privilege, a great honor. Then she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit, just as the angel said, and she visited her aunt, Elizabeth. And as she approached Elizabeth's house, she was greeted not only by Elizabeth, by the Holy Spirit. If you remember that the Holy Spirit was there, and the Holy Spirit made that meeting extraordinary in a sense, out of ordinary. It was an out of ordinary meeting. Mary was greeted by the Holy Spirit through Elizabeth. And we'll come to that a little bit later. The Holy Spirit was present there, not just to say hello. And you know what happened after Elizabeth greeted, or the Holy Spirit greeted Mary. We'll get to that later, but do you remember what happened? Mary sung. Mary sung. The Holy Spirit put a song in her mouth, and we'll reflect on it a little bit later. She was also honored by the visit of the three wise men, because when the three wise men came into the house, there was Mary and there was the baby. And while the focus of their visitation was the baby, nevertheless, Mary, his mother, was also honored by the visit of the three men. That happens in our daily lives, isn't it? Even when someone comes to visit the child, if the boy or the girl becomes famous, usually dads and moms are also honored by that. Another way of putting it is, when we live godly lives, our parents are also respected. She was honored by the visit of the three wise men from the east. She also, as the time developed, went on, she marveled at what was being said about her son. So she takes both of them, they take the baby to the temple. And remember, in the temple, there's an old man. And again, it's the Holy Spirit there that greets Mary, greets Jesus, greets Mary, greets Joseph. Imagine going to church and be greeted by the Holy Spirit. And Simon said words about her son. Great words, but also words that maybe kept her wondering. But she kept marveling at the words that were being said about her baby. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. And then, of course, time goes on and other things are being said about Jesus, or Jesus starts to be more aware of his mission and of what he has to do. And we read in Luke chapter 2, 51, that Mary, his mother, started to treasure those words in her heart. And that's what mothers do. They treasure our words. And if I will to add up a third question to my quiz and ask mothers here, do you remember your child's first words?
Mama, mama.
Something like that. To that effect, Mary was treasuring her son's words, and the mothers are treasuring their baby's words and achievements. We have a book about Grace. We have her footprint on the page. We know everything about you. Eh? Yes. And other things, maybe even a lock of hair or something. Yeah. Mothers do. Mothers tend to do that. And Mary, as a mother, treasured those words in her heart. We go on. And if you remember, baby was not baby anymore. He started his ministry and they attend a wedding and they run out of wine. And you remember the words of Mary. She was proud of her son. Because when those people, when she realized that wine is sort of running out, she said to them, do whatever he will tell you. She was proud, not in a bad sense. In a good sense, she was proud of her son, just as many other mothers, some of you, are proud of your sons and daughters. Yeah, she was proud of her son. But then came the sword. We jump a little bit later, and he's on the cross. Her son is on the cross. And it's happening just as Simon, just as the Holy Spirit said. She was witnessing her son's crucifixion and the sword that pierced her heart. Any mother would probably have that ache and pain in her heart, seeing her children suffering. And of course, on the same context, she was accepting the heartbreaking truth about the finality of the separation. Because remember also on the cross, Jesus said, woman, he is your son, pointing to John. And to John said, son, he is your mother. And that meant the separation was a done deal, will happen. So that's Mary's motherhood, just going through some of the things that we have in the scriptures about her being a mom, being a mother. We have something in Acts, if I'm not sure, Jesus' mother, Mary, kept being part of the community that her son started. So when the church came together to pray, Mary, his mother, was there. Yes, was there. But let us reflect a few minutes about what I mentioned earlier. As her Holy Spirit greeted Mary. She started to sing. The Holy Spirit always puts a song on our hearts, brothers and sisters, friends. It's the Holy Spirit who makes us sing. A mother's song, Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. And the first thing, as I already said a couple of times, it's a Spirit song, a song given by the Spirit. And what is it that the Spirit sings about? Who is it that the Spirit sings about? Who is it that the Spirit always exalts and glorifies? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And here we don't have yet the name, or Mary doesn't use the name Jesus, but she uses a term that points to him. Remember? My Savior. My Savior. The baby wasn't born yet. And Mary was looking and understanding. Well, of course, it's the Spirit involved there. The Spirit opened her eyes and her heart. It is the Spirit singing about the Savior. And the Spirit is the one that gives us a song. And it always exalts Jesus. And before exalting him to heaven, the Holy Spirit will point to him as your Savior, the one who was exalted on the cross, who was raised on the cross, and then to the heavens. It's a Spirit song exalting Jesus. And there will be always joy when the Spirit is present, or when there is a Savior. Because a Savior by definition means saved from something, saved from someone. And that brings joy. A Spirit song Mary sung that day. Also, this is probably not that much, but it is a soul song, a song coming from the soul. It wasn't just lips moving. There are so many songs on this earth. There are so many songs going on around. There are so many songs going on in churches, and some of them have nothing to do with being songs of the soul, coming from the deepest parts of someone, of the believer. Some of those songs was just a happy clappy type of thing, unfortunate. But it was a soul song coming from the depths of her being, and not only a mind song as well. But something else, it's hard to miss, because it was a scripture song. Reading those verses, that's Old Testament all over. As Mary sings, is the Old Testament all over. Expressions, themes, ideas from the scriptures, from the Old Testament, are in that song. And of course, because we sing what we know and we pray what we know, and if scriptures don't do anything, of course they do much more. But one thing the scriptures do, they teach us to pray. The scriptures, they give us a praying vocabulary, remember? We had a whole series about this. The sounds, because we focused on the sounds enrich our praying vocabulary. We pray what we know, and we don't pray what we don't know. She sung what she knew. And my reading that song, she knew the scriptures. She knew the scriptures. I think her soul, her being, was saturated with the scriptures. And finally, we have to admit that it was a victory song. It was a victory song. The battle was still ahead. It was at the beginning, really. Baby wasn't born. The battle was still ahead, way ahead. But the victory was clearly being seen. And who gives us clarity of vision when it comes to matters of this? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us clarity of vision. It's the Holy Spirit visibility, if we can call it like that. So Mary sings, the mighty one has done, which with my limited understanding means it's done deal again. It's finished. The victory has been won. Mary, it's so much. It's so long. The way it's so hard till the victory. And yet you sing about the victory. And that's, again, I say, This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is why that hope that we were listening when John led us to pray, that hope, it's is a way of seeing things at the very end. And remember, that also was given to us through the resurrection of Jesus, a living hope. And now, I hope that you are, or the mothers are encouraged by hearing about Mary, the mother of Jesus. I won't go into what happened later, because after 400 years, Mary became something else in parts of Christendom, take another view of her and elevate her to a position which it doesn't flow from the scriptures. That's another thing I'm not going to talk about that. But that's Mary, a mother, just many of you. Mary, the mother of Jesus. So, how can you sing when your body goes through the pangs of childbirth? Mothers, how can you sing when you go through the pain of child giving, childbirth? How can you sing? Mothers, how can you sing when you experience the village gossip? Or we should better ask Mary. Mary, how could you sing when you knew that there were people in a village who might be pointing a finger at you? She's not married yet. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, huh? Mary, how can you sing when you are being left waiting outside, when many other brothers and sisters are surrounding your son and listening to his words, drinking from what he has to say? Remember, someone said, your mother and your brothers are here. And Jesus answered, who's my mother? Who are my brothers? Are those who obey God. I don't know what Mary felt at the time, but she already sung before. How can you sing when your heart is being pierced by a sword, when you see your son on the cross suffering? How can you sing? Is that a victory, Mary? We could ask her. And that's what mothers experience, and I'm sure that many of you have experienced too. But take heart. Take heart, because as Mary was given a sight of things to come, because Mary was given through the Holy Spirit visibility to see the end of the journey, the end, she was able to sing despite all these things happening in her life. And that's what mothers do. Being the mother of Jesus, I believe Mary had a glimpse of God's love for his creation. So what I'm saying, that even you as mothers, through the things that you go through, you experience maybe a little bit of what God's heart experiences when he looks at his creation. That's Mary, the mother of Jesus. So I pray that God will bless you in the things that you go through. For the young mothers, as I already prayed, that they will grow onto becoming elderly mothers later. the elderly mothers will also pray and advise the young mothers, all this to give glory to God, because motherhood is a gift from God.